Holy God, we gather to celebrate and worship the glory of our loving Creator.
We come as ones who have experienced and witnessed the grace and truth of our God.
We come together to reverently acknowledge the wonders and powers of our glorious God.
Together we can marvel and share with others the presence of being in God's holy presence.
Our God has always been a guiding God, and we rejoice and give thanks for his great gift.
Awesome God, may your name be praised, O Lord, and earth, and all peoples forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Brandon, who is actually our, what we like to call, pastor of the pastors around here in our area. And Chris is actually going to be sharing the word with us later in the service. So, really, warm welcome to the both of you. And Julie, as most of you know, is Kathy's sister. So, a bit of a connection here. And actually, there's so much connection with these guys. When Chris comes up later, you have to repeat. Just tell us a little bit of the story, because Chris's grandfather has got a huge history with this place. He was minister not once but twice here at Fitz Great Baptist. There's a story to be told. We always spend a few moments of our time together in the morning, warmly welcoming each other, getting up out of our seats, shaking hands, sharing kisses and hugs. And most importantly, sharing the peace of God with one another. And as we greet one another this morning, may our greetings be prayers of wholeness and life in abundance for each other. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let's greet each other this morning.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And a warm welcome again to those of you who have joined us in the last few minutes. We need your warmth in this building. I've actually got a little bit of community news today, Mum and Dad, and start us off.
First of all, I'd just like to mention, I'm going to mention about Baptist World Aid. There's always things on the website that you can check on, lots of different fundraising. So I won't put them all out, but if you do want any information, if you can just let me know. There will be things on the notice board, but there's lots of things that we can be involved in. But also individually we can be involved in them as well. And I'd just like to ask everybody to keep praying for Mark and William, the children that we are part of sponsoring. So that would be great. And if you do feel God calling you in that direction to sponsor other children or other projects, that would be just wonderful. Now, we are going to have our plant sale here. The finance team are doing activities and brainstorming different ways we can do things. It's just a new team, so if you have any information or you would like to join our team, that would be great. We're going to have the plants on the first day of spring, which is the 1st of September, which will be in 2 weeks. So I would, I know it's not on the notice for those lovely plants that you're planting for us, but if you do have plants to bring along, it would be great if you could just put a little name on them just in case you're not sure what they are. But if you don't and you haven't done that, it would be great if you would just bring your money along and you can be part of the plant sale in that way. So that would be great. So first day of spring, the 1st of September, bring your plants and just pop them into the hall. There'll be a table in there. And you'll be reminded again next week. So if any plants at home that you might like extra cuttings or extra potted pottings that you have that you're not using, that would be great to come here and we'll sell them and make good use of the funds. Thank you.
What a beautiful way to celebrate the first day of spring. First day of spring, people. It's just around the corner. We've always made it. 1st of September. It's also Joseph Lou's birthday. So anyone else has got a birthday? We'll have to have a double celebration on that day. Or don't let us forget. Because we do birthdays well in this place. Absolutely. Look forward to it. Spring plans on the 1st of September, on the first day of spring, if you have been preparing plans, bring them. And if not, come and just celebrate the great symbol of life being renewed, of things dying over winter, coming back to life again, as they always do, as nature tells us. And actually, just on that note, We're going to try a few things. We've got September, October, November, December left this year. And on the first Sunday of each of those months, our service will be a little bit different. And I thought it was only fair to give you a little bit of warning. So on the first Sunday of each month from now until the end of the year, we're just going to have more of a family focus. So it may be more, well, it will be more, we'll all be participating differently in the service. We might set things up a little bit differently. And it's nice to know, because some of us actually really like to know what we're coming to. I get that. So on the first day of Sunday, we might, but I do, come with your children, come with your young people, and let's share our time just a little bit differently together. I promise it will be fun. It'll be good. First Sunday of every month. Also, just a reminder, this Friday night for our youth, we're hosting, we've been combining, the Westgate Youth this year, and this week it's our turn to host, so we're having a big night of fun here on Friday night, guys, so don't forget, 7 o'clock, check out the Facebook page, it's all there. Now, just for those of us, again, who like to know what's going on, we are sharing communion today. The reason why we've got the table set down here is because after Chris has shared the word with us this morning. Well, during Chris, as Chris shares the word with us this morning, take note of how it's resonating in you. Questions, prayers. Imagine yourself sitting around the table with Jesus as he did at the Last Supper. As we share communion today, think of those things. And after Chris has shared, as our prayers today, you'll be invited to come and write your drawer, your prayers, your queries, whatever is on your heart, on this cloth this morning, as a response to what we hear from Chris. And after that, this will become our cloth for communion, which will place the elements and sit around with Jesus and share it. So just to let you know, that's what we'll be doing a little bit later on. And lastly, after the service, before we go for our cup of tea and coffee, if you are a member especially, but also an open welcome to everyone, we're having a very short meeting just here in the church to discuss two quick things. So it's a special members meeting, so we do need a quorum. So if you're here, just join us. Firstly, to allow our small team to purchase an axe. There's a couple of things that we need to talk about as a church, which is pretty exciting. And secondly, to discuss Rowena's contract, Pastor Rowena's contract, whether you as a church would like to extend that for 6 months as we continue on this intentional interim process. And also, that would include my contract as well, because at the moment they're staying in step with one another. So just those two things. To talk about my own contract, but it'd be great if you turned up on my stay. How's your week been? Any more news?
Who is our preacher next week,
Trevor? Will be Heather from Global Interaction. Is she the, what do they call her, the CEO? She's the big wig. And Heather will be coming and sharing stories with us from Global Interaction next week. So, another great week. We've been extremely spoiled this month for preachers. Thank you. Congratulations, Randell. Congratulations on your first grandchild. How did you get up there with her?
Yes.
Well, hopefully they will be joining us on Father's Day here in Melbourne.
On Father's Day? Oh.
So we will all have a chance to have a quick look.
Well, that will be a special one for John. Yes. First Father's Day. Let's stand and sing again before we prepare ourselves to give our Bible reading to people this morning.
Magdadrive lang sila.
Hindi, dadali niya yung party. Tapos yung mga nangyay na dito. Prevent.
Hindi na nakalala. Ba't meron siya?
Because ministry na ito. Okay, i-re-register. Marami pa. Thank you. Thank you. Yan. That's
it. That's it. Good work. Diba rin na?
The splendor of the King, crowned in majesty, and all the earth to us, all the earth to us, he cast himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at its voice, trembles at its voice.
Our Bible reading for today is John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Some Greeks had gone to Jerusalem to worship during Passover. Philip from Bethsaida in Galilee was there too. So they went to him and said, "Sir, we would like to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew. Then the two of them went to Jesus and told him. Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be given his glory. I tell you for certain that a grain of wheat that falls on the ground will never be more than one grain unless it dies. But if it dies, it will produce lots of wheat. If you love your life, you will lose it. If you give it up in this world, you will be given eternal life. If you serve me, you must go with me. My servants will be with me wherever I am. If you serve me, my Father will honor you. Now I am deeply troubled, and I don't know what to say. But I must not ask my Father to keep me from this time of suffering. In fact, I came into the world to suffer. So Father, bring glory to yourself. A voice from heaven then said, I have already brought glory to myself, and I will do it again. When the crowd heard the voice, some of them thought it was thunder. Others thought an angel had spoken to Jesus. Then Jesus told the crowd, that voice spoke to help you, not me. This world's people are now being judged, and the ruler of this world is already being thrown out. If I am lifted up above the earth, I will make everyone want to come to me. Jesus was talking about the way he would be put to death. The crowd said to Jesus, the scriptures teach that the Messiah will live forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus answered, the light will be with you for only a little longer. Walk in the light while you can. Then you won't be caught walking blindly in the dark. Have faith in the light while it is with you, and you will be children of the light. Praise and glory to the Word of God.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for the welcome to be a part of Footscray Baptist Church's worship today and for the invitation to share God's Word with you. I have been here before, a couple of years ago, but it's always a special privilege and joy for me to come to Footscray because, as Bronwyn suggested, I have a particular connection with this church. My grandfather, the Reverend H.F. Wright, was pastor here on two different occasions. One, when Reverend J.H. Gogol was here, my grandfather came down from Queensland to pastor with J.H. Gogol for 4 years, and then my grandfather went off to another couple of churches, and upon J.H. Gogol's death in 1932, the church asked my grandfather to come back. And he spent another 10 years here. So for my mother, she was hoping to come today. This place holds a lot of memories for her as she was growing up as a young teenager. And she talks about in those days the pulpit being against the back wall and people being against the front wall. Over 450 people here at the church at that time. And let's hope that one day 450 may once again squeeze into here to worship. My role, as Bronwyn suggested, is regional pastor of the Baptist Union of Victoria. And it's my privilege to encourage our pastors of churches just in the metropolitan area of Melbourne. They do a great job serving God's people. And it can often get lonely. The challenges of the pastorate can often be quite difficult. And so it's my role to encourage and to help them be the best that they can be so that you, God's people, are blessed through their service. So look after your pastors, mate. This morning I want to talk about glory. And if you follow the Bible passage, you will have noticed that glory was mentioned a few times. Jesus talks about entering into his glory or being given glory. He talks about God receiving glory. Glory. Interesting word. I don't know about you, but I've been watching a recent cricket series between Australia and England. And it hasn't been a very enjoyable experience. Australia's batsmen altering, going out, and the English bowlers exulting in their victory, racing around, hugging each other, waving their arms in the air, basking in the glory of their victory. It's the same in football, whether it's AFL or whether it's soccer. The same things happen. Players do something spectacular, kick a crucial goal or an amazing goal, and they run around the 10-metre square, are number one, and all of their teammates jump on them, high-five them, hug them. They bask in the glory of what they've done. In the New Testament, in the Greek language, the word for glory is doxa. The word suggests magnificent splendor or shining majesty. Glory is that which gives you splendor or significance, makes you shine and stand out from everyone else. Glory. On Sundays, when I was a child, we used to sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. You people worthy with me. You sang it too when you were children. Giving God glory. Doxa, doxology. God's glory is that God is high and lifted up. The architecture of our churches trying to express that. The creator of all that is below. So on Sundays, all of us here below give glory, give doxology to God. The one who was lifted up, the great God on high. Isaiah, the prophet, in chapter 6, had a vision of God's glory. It was so wonderful. It was so glorious. It was so magnificent. He struggled to describe it in words. In Revelation, John the Apostle tries to describe the visions of God's glory that he sees. And it's so breathtaking and fantastic. He struggles to describe God's glory. Jesus said, and I've got the New Living Translation here, it's not too far from the Contemporary English Version, but Jesus says, the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into His glory. But in what is Jesus' glory? At the beginning of our reading, some Greeks come. They want to see Jesus. Perhaps they want to have an interview with Him. Maybe they've heard of His great miracles. Who is this man who does such amazing things? A fairly glorious person. So when Jesus says, the time has come for me to enter into my glory, those listening think, at long last, the Son will be glorified. And none of this ordinary, human, humble Galilean stuff. Now we're down to the real thing. At last, Jesus is going to call an end to this gentle humanity or humility and reveal His glory. He's going to take charge. He's going to draw everybody to Him. He's going to begin the revolution. Get rid of those Romans. Now we're talking. Jesus coming into His glory. Magnificent splendor. The shining majesty. The high and lifted up God set to reveal Himself through Jesus. Now's the time for Jesus to raise His hands before the cheering crowd, to be carried aloft on the worship and the adulation. Number one, Jesus in His glory. See how we think in terms of what gives us glory? How we understand glory? But who is Jesus? His answer is quite shocking. Immediately after he talks about the time arriving for him to enter into his glory, he says, I tell you the truth, a kernel of wheat must be planted in the soil. Unless it dies, it will be alone. A single seed. We praise God as the glorious one, powerful, majestic, exalted, lifted up. Jesus speaks of glory as a seed falling to earth, into the darkness of the earth, dying. Some of the songs we sing most enthusiastically and most loudly are songs which emphasize the risen, ascended, exalted Jesus. And that's good. But when people came wanting to see Jesus, the glorious one from a glorious God, they were shown one who spoke of his life as a grain of wheat being buried in the ground. He spoke of his glory as his death. Those who cover themselves with this world's glory, they get to be on the cover of the glossy magazines. Or they run around the football ground with their finger up telling us they're number one while the crowd goes mad. They're the ones who receive glory from us. The man who gives years of his life coaching a boys' junior soccer team in a poor neighborhood. Or a mother who quietly gives up her own dreams of a successful career to care for a chronically ill child. Or a father who refuses the well-paid promotions and the fast track to the top in his vocation because he wants to be a father to his children. We don't glorify him. So when we came looking for Jesus, what we saw, what we heard, shocked us. And still shocks us. Because we see a glory of God completely opposite to the world's idea of glory. And our own ideas of glory. We see a glory which requires us to think again about what is glory. We're so easily persuaded by the world's ideas of what glory is. We like to think of glory as getting lots of attention, or being popular with the clever things we've done, or having people look up to us and wanting to be with us and wanting to be. But Jesus showed us another picture of glory. He became just like a grain of wheat, buried in the ground, suffering, dying. After all the wonderful things Jesus said and did in his ministry, this seems like a tragedy, a terrible thing. But in fact, it's a great victory. His glory, his exaltation was when he finally got his opportunity to be high and lifted up. But the only time Jesus was high enough to look down on us from the heights of glory was when he looked down on us from his cross. But it was through his death that was the way to glory. The only way to glory for him is, ironically, not being lifted up on the shoulders of his disciples after a victorious game, but being lifted up to die on a cross. And this is the crazy thing. This is his hour of glory, in which he draws all people to himself. You see, the death of Jesus on the cross was not a shameful defeat, which was then put right by the subsequent resurrection in power from death. Both death and resurrection together are inseparable. One event in which Jesus is given glory. As much as the resurrection, the death of Jesus on the cross is also a moment of glory for God. A great victory in which God's wonderful love for us and his acceptance of us is demonstrated in an unmistakable manner. The death of God's only Son, by which sin and death have been defeated once and for all, achieving life, achieving hope for all. I was really interested to hear Arlene's comments about the plant day, because something I like to do is propagating seeds. Have a little plastic container of seed pods, and I put in seed raising mix and put the seeds in. Agapanthus at the moment, and miniature agapanthus. And I love just watching the seeds sprout, or putting their seeds in my vegetable garden and watching the seeds sprouting. From the one seed comes a plant, which then bears flowers and so many more seeds, out of all proportion to the other. Just as a seed, when planted in the ground, dies to itself, yet by its death produces fruit far out of proportion to itself, so through his obedient death, Jesus has produced life for all people, thereby glorifying God. And that leads us to give our praise and our thanks. The truth that glory comes through death is true not only for Jesus, however, but also for his disciples, everyone who wants to follow Jesus. We Christians often make the mistake of thinking that it's only Jesus who, like that grain of wheat, falls into the ground and dies so that he can bear much fruit. But the truth is that all of us who want to follow Jesus, all of us who want to be with Jesus, all of us who want to be Jesus' disciple, we have to do the same. We all must die to our own glory so that as we follow him, he receives glory. Jesus goes on into the next verses and into chapter 13 describing what it's like to die to ourselves and to rise into new life, bearing fruit as Jesus leads us. Serving each other, Jesus' example of washing his disciples' feet, of loving each other by this or what everybody will know, you're my disciples if you love one another, and even loving those who are our enemies, loving those who betray us, as Jesus gave Judas a piece of bread for him to take. That's what it means to die as Jesus has died and to rise into new life. Our baptism is a picture of that dying. In our burial in the wood, we indicate that we, like that grain of wheat, have died to life, lived for ourselves and for our own glory. And instead, from now on, we live by faith in Jesus that we may produce fruit of eternal life. It's tough talk. Dying. Rising to a new life. Who can help us do that? Well, the secret's in our reading, where Jesus said, all those who want to be my disciples must come and follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And if they follow me, the Father will honor them. There's our aim. That's how we receive glory. Not in ourselves. It's how Jesus receives glory through our lives, committed to him, given over to him, dead to ourselves, alive to Christ. Loving God, we confess we love it when we get a little bit of glory for ourselves. Being popular, being seen as clever. We're not used to thinking about glory being seen through dying, through the giving up of ourselves. And yet, Lord, because of Jesus, through his death and through his resurrection, we see a glory that is beyond our understanding. And we see the hope of a life that is rich and joyful, a life that gives us hope. Lord, we want that life. Help us to trust in Jesus, that our hope may be in him and in his life. In his name we pray. Amen.
We know what Christmas talking about. Magnificence and wonder. We know God to be a God of magnificence and of something, someone beyond words, beyond description. Into darkness. Could it be that glory is death? There's an ancient saying back in Jesus' time, people would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. The roads were dusty. Rabbi, our teacher, meaning this, the saying means if we're following our teacher, Jesus being our teacher, our rabbi, we'll be covered in his dust as we follow alongside. So this is challenge to us around what we need to ponder this morning is what dust are we covered in? As we follow in his footsteps. Are you living your hour of glory with your family, with your children, with your partners, with friends, in your community? Are we living our lonely road? It's a lonely road. The road that calls us to let go, to fall into the ground, to unclench our hands and our hearts. It is tough talk, Chris. It's simple, but it's not easy. What's that hour of glory that lonely road? future where we are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. And also a road where your Father stands with you, goes before you, is following behind. Your hour of glory is that moment when your Father leads you, following in his footsteps. As we prepare ourselves to share communion this morning, if you would like to respond with a prayer, with an image, with just a word, maybe with a question, you are most really invited to come and bring yourself a text and write on this piece of cloth that will then become our communion cloth as we sit round with Jesus this morning. So we'll just have a few minutes in your own time. What a beautiful table to sit around together. Let's pray. Prepare to share the supper together. Loving God, God of glory, we come to your table this morning. We're glad to be at your table this morning. And your glory is on our minds. We look at the bread and remember what it meant for you. As your followers, as your beloved children, we remember what it means for us. Gaze at the blood of redemption. We see your glory shimmering in these cups. Holy, holy, holy image. As we share this meal, we remember that you journey with us, God. You hold our hands, and we are sheltered in the shadow of your bed as we walk the way of glory with you, or find the courage to do so. In your name we pray. Amen. The bread, feel free to eat it, and then the stewards will come back. Juice and share that, and let's hold that and we'll put that together at the end. kilos or so produce. Shakespeare, a beautiful white scene, with prayers lining this table of deep communion with God and with each other. Let's drink together. As students come and collect the glasses. As part of our worship this morning, we'll also take up our offering in the presence of this God of glory. We offer back the only thing that we can, our ordinary, everyday lives, our community and ourselves, whatever we do.
Jesus, oh Jesus. Praise the Lord.